We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We know when the Steelers will open their season. I know when they'll play or who they'll play week two. Their home opener will be at home against the Raiders at Heinz Field. We don't know when the Penguins will play game one against the Islanders. We had Zach Aston Reese on last hour. He said Saturday or Sunday. Jeff Hathorn told us he thinks the Penguins are trying to push the game to Monday for more fans. I've had some people tell me either 12:30 or 3 o'clock on NBC Sunday. And that a lot of it comes down to what happens in the West Division with how that division gets sorted out. Because we know the four teams, we just don't know who's going to win the President's Trophy, who's going to finish first, second, third. Minnesota will probably finish third, and St. Louis is already locked into fourth. But all this minutia that I'm getting into right now, apparently is what's holding back the announcement for when the Penguins will start their playoff series. Bob Grove, about as good as it gets, joins us right now to talk about the Penguins in the playoffs. Bob, are you getting antsy with this schedule stuff?
No, I'm staying pretty chill about it.
Okay.
You know, I think it's, you know, it'll happen this weekend, and when they deem it's necessary to tell us all, we'll be ready to listen.
Gotcha. We had Jeff Hathorn on earlier, and he said that he wouldn't be surprised after the scrimmage decision by Mike Sullivan today to hold Malkin out if he misses game one, which when he said that, it almost knocked me out of my chair, Bob. Full participant at practice but didn't scrimmage today. Does that get your dander up at all?
I would say this. For me, it's a bit odd that he wouldn't scrimmage. But, you know, I'll take Mike Sullivan at his word, and we know that he's going to be careful about what he says, and we know sort of the language he uses when he's not sure, right?
Yep.
But I thought he said after the last game of the season, when Malkin finished the third period on the bench, that he'd be fine.
Yeah.
He said after that game, he'd be fine. So I don't know, unless something's happened between then and now. That just sounds to me like, yeah, he's not 100%, but he's 95, and why put him through an inter-squad scrimmage, you know, Evgeny Malkin? Yeah, it's not necessary. And so we'll just leave him out. Like, I think if he was hurting, he wouldn't be in a full practice. So, and, you know, you still got, what, 3-4 days, depending, like we just talked?
Yep.
How many, you know? So, no, I would be really surprised if he's not ready to play in game one, given that he's in a full practice.
What's your confidence level in Evgeny Malkin, even if he's healthy right now, Bob?
Well, I got to say, I mean, I wasn't real impressed with the way he played in the, you know, in the games that he played here at the end of the regular season.
Me neither.
It wasn't that he was, I mean, I wouldn't say he was bad, but I wouldn't say he was, he certainly wasn't impressive. He was putting up some points, but, you know, a little bit of the body language, you know, kind of a lot of flybys. You just didn't notice him on a lot of shifts. And I'm willing to say, look, when you missed 23 games in a row, you're going to have a little bit of that, at least initially. But, you know, by the time you get to the last game, you know, even before, you know, he got hit on the leg there and precipitated kind of sitting on the bench, as I mentioned, I wasn't impressed. I wasn't impressed. So some of it, yes, is due to the layoff, but, you know, he's going to have to get his game quickly to a different level.
Bob, you're the last person I have to say this to because you know the numbers as well as anybody. But we're talking about the last 3 years, 17 playoff games for Malkin, one even strength goal in a minus 11. I said to start the show, I wouldn't accept that kind of production from Jared McCann, let alone Evgeny Malkin, the last 3 years in the playoffs. 1 5-on-5 goal, and it happened in a 7-0 game. It's just unacceptable.
Yeah, no, it is. Let's be honest. If you go back the last 2 years, you go back to the bubble against Montreal, and then you go back to 19 against the Islanders, you can start pulling numbers for any player in a Pittsburgh uniform. They're all brutally bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's not just anybody. So I'm agreeing with you that it's nowhere near good enough. Yes, special circumstances last year in the bubble and whatever, but it's not nearly good enough for Evgeny Malkin and the Penguins. Look, if they're gonna win it all, he's got to be on board and playing the way he can play. Because, if you can get Malkin going the way he was before he got hurt,
right?
And now you add Jeff Carter, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of matchup headaches for opponents, and I don't care who the opponent is. That's not saying the Penguins obviously can't be beaten, but I'm just saying if you can get Malkin playing at a really high level, because Sid will be there, and now you've added this veteran who is just playing lights out for the Penguins. The Penguins are a big, big problem for a lot of teams.
I don't disagree with that. I'm just not overly confident that we're going to see him flip that switch. And I think even if he doesn't, they'll beat the Islanders. But I have my doubts on how much deeper they can go from there without Malkin transforming himself back into the guy he was in late February, early March, Bob.
Well, no, they need him. And yep. It's not just because they need him to score goals. They need his entire line.
Exactly.
Goals. So if he's not playing well, now you've taken three of your big contributors and you've put them on the fringes.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point, if you're playing Boston or you're playing Washington or you're playing whoever, it's not that beating those teams with three guys on the fringes isn't going to work. I just don't think it's going to work over a 7-game series. I don't. So yes, he's got to get to a different level, mm-hmm. and let's see how he comes out of the gate here.
If the best case scenario happens and they win their fourth Stanley Cup in this Malkin Crosby era, and he's great, and it's like he was in 09 or like he was in 18, and he's phenomenal, and they have another parade here, he gets a contract extension this offseason that makes him a Penguin for life, and everything is, they live happily ever after kind of thing. If he doesn't, and it's, a facsimile of what happened last year or the year before that, Bob, what happens then? Because he's only got 1 year left on his contract. Do they just say, this is what Mario always wanted, let's give him an extension anyways?
Yeah, well, I don't know. We're talking hypothetical. So, if Malkin doesn't perform this year, look, Hextall said right from the start, when he got here, that, they'll have to just think about the big picture over the summer. As right now, they get in here in the middle of the season, they've got to give this team the best chance to win now. And start thinking about the big picture in the future, but they really get down in the weeds on what they want to do with everybody over the next several years, mm-hmm. this summer. But that decision was going to be made regardless. And yeah, if Malkin has a terrible playoff and they have an early exit, those discussions take a different tack than they would if he's lights out.
Yeah.
But I cannot get away from the numerous media reports from people who are well-informed and very close to the team,
yep.
that say the ownership has zero interest in him finishing his career anywhere else.
Man, that's a tough one to reconcile if the hockey people feel differently. I think we had a feeling, Bob, going into, postseasons past, all right, if Phil Kessel doesn't produce here, he's probably going to be the guy that they move in the offseason. James Neal, if he doesn't put up or shut up here, they'll probably trade him. And I agree with you. Like, everyone that's connected seems to make it sound like Malkin's legacy here is already pretty much in stone, and nothing he can do from an on-ice perspective is going to change that, that he could pretty much tell the organization when he doesn't want to play here anymore. And I don't think I agree with that. If I were running the team, I understand that he's been incredible, but other all-time greats have finished up in other uniforms too. There's that.
Well, yeah, but let's remember how good he was last season.
Tremendous. He was their best player.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not like what we've seen here recently like across the board, and is he's not been up mm-hmm. to par. That's not been the case. And, you know, if he was out of shape or whatever the issue was with him earlier this season, he finally got it back on track and looked to be playing really, really well, you know, right before he got hurt. So it's a mixed bag. And, you know, I just like to see what he decides to, you know, how he decides to play and how he's going to play before I start thinking about what it means to his future. But again, that conversation can go one of two different ways. But here's the bottom line. When you own the team, man, you own the team. It's your decision.
If you owned the team, Bob, how much stock would you put on playoff production? For example, if a guy had a great regular season but didn't play well for 5 or 6 games in April, would you put more stock in the April production or what a guy did over 6 months of hockey?
Well, a lot of it for me depends on all these other factors. How old is the guy? Well, how much playoff experience does he have? Is it fair to expect him to play well in the playoffs? Has he done it before?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those kinds of things. Has he been great in the playoffs generally, but then has one bad year? I mean, there's just a lot of things you have to weigh for me when you start thinking about the emphasis. But in general, with this team,
mm-hmm.
you're putting a lot of emphasis on what happens in the playoffs. I think that's true any year.
Yeah.
And when you are coming off 2 consecutive years of first-round exit, I think it's doubly true. I think everybody on this team is built not to win a round. This team is built to make a long run. And they certainly look at this point like they're capable of making a long run. And if they have anything resembling the kind of performance they had in 19 and 20,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to go well.
Bob Grove on the Fan Hotline.
Thinking about their future.
Yeah. Brought to you by the workers' compensation law firm of Hall & Capitis. I asked that question to set up this question. Like, if they were to go out early, how would we look at Mike Sullivan's season? Because right now all we're saying is look at the job this guy did. Probably deserves the Jack Adams. Did more with less. Kind of like what Bielsma did when he won Coach of the Year. Didn't have Malkin or Crosby. Malkin was out for 23 games or whatever it was. All the defensemen were out. The GM quits. What a great job. But if they lose in 6 to New York, then what do we say about the year he had?
It takes, you know, not all of the luster off the job. And I agree, he's done a spectacular job. I think Sullivan's a really, really good coach. But it takes a lot of the luster right off it if they go out in the first round. I mean, that's here in this particular city with this particular team, that's the bottom line on everything. You can be great in the regular season, but so what?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's about what you do when the chips are down in it. And if they were to go out in the first round again, well, you know, I also said this last year, so I got to qualify.
Well, all the assistant coaches paid the price last year, yeah. Bob. They're the ones that had to wear it.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, they're all, for me, they're all being judged by what happens in the playoffs. Like, We can say in one breath, look, you guys were awesome this year, you mm-hmm. know, but then we can say, but you know, if you don't do what's expected now, it means zip.
Do you think that the Islanders' goaltender advantage in the series is because of the system they play, or is it because Varlamov's better than Jari?
Well, I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know that they have a great advantage in goal.
Mm-hmm.
Varlamov has a lot of playoff experience, you know, and the Penguins goaltenders have a combined 1 game.
Yep.
So, you know, but Sorokin's not played in the playoffs. So if you're gonna say they have an advantage, here's the thing: Varlamov's history against the Penguins, it's not good.
No, he got killed in that Capitals series back in 2009. Game 7.
I mean, well, not even that. I mean, his regular season numbers, his save percentage is below .900.
Yeah.
He's put up good numbers this year. I'm not taking anything away from the season he's had.
Mm-hmm.
The Penguins just have never had much of a problem with him.
True.
I mean, that's just a fact. And so, but do the Islanders benefit from the good structure and defensive responsibility that shows? Absolutely. The Islanders, they're the number 2 defensive team in the league right now at this moment. They're number 2, and the Penguins are the highest scoring team. I mean, they're going to cede that to Colorado here tonight. But, you know, this is a classic matchup. And the Islanders, the Penguins can play well defensively, and the Islanders, in this series, their challenge is going to be the same challenge they've had the last 10, 15 games, which is how are you going to find a way to score goals? Because they don't score many. And that's just a fact. And, you know.
Which is interesting because I like, you know, you go up and down their lineup and look at their forwards. They don't have many great players, but I don't see a line for New York where I'm like, oh my God, that's really where you make your hay against these guys. I like their forward group a lot, Bob, top to bottom.
Well, yeah, but I mean, look, I don't have an issue with a lot of these guys, but let's be honest. I mean, they went out and got Palmieri and Zajac. That hasn't worked.
No, it hasn't. They haven't played well.
I mean,
you're
it
right.
hasn't worked. You know, I mean, so Beauvillier has shown signs. Nelson's, he's a solid player. Bailey's a solid player. You know, the guys to worry about are Barzal and Eberle. Those are the guys who have killed the Penguins, specifically.
How about Pajot? He's another one that's been a pain in the neck.
Yeah, he's a good player. He hasn't put up huge numbers against the Penguins, but he's a good player.
Yep.
No doubt. But, I mean, I'm just looking, look. I mean, the bottom line is, as you come down the stretch run here, the Penguins were the best team in this division, and the worst team of the teams that qualified was the New York Islanders.
Yep.
They lost 7 of their last 10. You know, their last 18 games, more than half of them, they scored 2 or fewer goals. And so the trade hasn't helped, not the way it was supposed to. The Penguins are a quicker team. It's hard to see how the Islanders beat them in a 7-game series. And again, I'm going to just stop right there and say, I also said that in 2019, right? None of us saw them losing, especially not in a sweep. So, you know, it kind of all comes back to, you know, one fact. I know this is this year, and nothing that's ever happened has anything to do with anything, but the Islanders are the Penguins' kryptonite, are they not, in the playoffs?
Oh, my God, yeah.
They are. And the most unlikely things are likely to happen when you play the Islanders. And I know they had a great regular season against them, the Penguins, you know, winning 6 of the 8 games. But, you know, everybody on that Pittsburgh team better understand that while they certainly look like the better team, if they're not strapped in for this game, for this series, rather, it's going to go sideways on them. And you know, the Islanders, they beat the Penguins because the Penguins hand them opportunities. If you look back at this series this season, that's what's happened with Eberle and Barzal and those guys. They get unbelievable high-quality chances, and if the Penguins hand those over routinely, then the series is going to be long.
Well, that's what happened 2 years ago in the playoffs. The Penguins beat themselves.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The Islanders don't score a lot of goals, but if you keep giving them really grade-A chance after chance after chance, they don't need a lot of goals. They're one of the best defensive teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll win with 2 some nights. Some nights it might take them 3. But you start scoring 2, 3, and 4, they're in trouble because they can't match you. So the Penguins, they just really have to pay attention to the details and play smart hockey and use their speed, and then I think they'll be fine in the series.
Bob, I know you're not the biggest NFL fan, but they remind me, the Islanders, they don't have the star power of this team in football, but they remind me of the Ravens, where you know there's no surprise or there's no real trickery. When the Ravens are the best running team in the NFL, when they've got a lead, it's perfect. They run the ball like crazy. You can't stop it. But if you get a lead on them, they have to go away from that, and you know, you can beat their quarterback if he has to throw it 30 times a game. I think the Islanders are the same way. You get up on them, they got to kind of go outside of their comfort zone, and they don't play the way they want to play. They get up 2-0 on you, probably good night. I know the Penguins had a couple of comeback wins against them, but that's really not who the Islanders. You don't want to consistently fall into holes against them. You know what I mean?
No, that's exactly right. You know, the first goal of these games will be huge. And the minute you get it and the Islanders don't get it, the pressure starts ratcheting up on them because every guy in that Islanders dressing room understands the difficulties they've had down the stretch in the season scoring goals. It's just a fact. And they know that. You know, without Anders Lee, they're missing so much in the room. They're missing them on the ice, of course. But, you know, if the Penguins give up the first goal in general, you say, it's not that big a deal.
But against New York, it is.
Yeah. And, I mean, we know. Trust,
they block shots like crazy. I mean, it's just annoying.
They do. And they can frustrate you.
Yep.
They will frustrate you in those scenarios. So the way the Penguins start these games is going to be important as well, and it's not just getting the first goal. It's like having a little bit of territorial advantage, making sure that you're not turning the puck over in the really bad areas of the ice that give the Islanders those odd man breaks and those chances. And, you know, watching guys like Nick Leddy, who's, you know, can really skate and loves to come up on plays, and he's created a lot in this series against the Penguins this season. So Barzal and Leddy are the two guys, when I start thinking about that, that I think about, they really got to circle and take care of.
Bob, give me a series prediction before we let you run. What do you think is going to happen here?
I like the Penguins in six. There's no way this is an easy series. No way. It's not going to be an easy series against the Islanders. But the Penguins right now, they just if you look at the way they played against this Islander team at even strength in these eight games this season, the Penguins really dominated them. It's special teams is where the Islanders had an advantage. So I like the Penguins in six. And I think that the special teams for me is going to be a continuing theme for the Penguins if they want to be successful in this postseason. Their penalty kill specifically, I think their power play will take care of itself. But I will say that in this series, the Islanders' power play down the stretch of the season, the last 15 games or so, spectacular.
Yeah.
And the Penguins' power play was really good as well. So it's the usual playoff thing we say at this time of year, but watch the special teams. That's the place where the Islanders kept things close in the regular season, and that's the place they'll try to keep them close in the playoffs, because at even strength this year, the Penguins kind of dominated them.
At BobGrove91 on Twitter for all kinds of good stuff on this Penguins-Islanders playoff series. Hey, Bob, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
There you go. Bob Grove.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.